We turn for a scripture reading to the Gospel according to Luke, New Testament passage in Luke, beginning to read at chapter 12, verse 54, and then on through 13, verse 10. So Luke, chapter 12, and beginning at verse 54. And he said also to the people, "When you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, 'There cometh a shower,' and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, 'There will be heat,' and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth? And how is it that ye cannot discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hale thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell thee that thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the last mite." Our text passage is the first verses of chapter 13, 1 through 5. These verses, and then we read on to 10. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, "Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered these such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." He spake also this parable: "A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, 'Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground?' And he, answering, said unto him, 'Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig it about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down.'" He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Thus far the reading of the Word of God. Congregation, as you see, the theme for the message has something to do with sudden death. What a shock if that happens in your household. In my ministry, some of the most heart-wrenching experiences have taken place in connection with sudden death. For instance, even in the first year of my ministry, a crib death, sudden infant death syndrome, still a mystery. Heartrending. Lately we have heard of the sudden deaths of young people, like a hockey player on the ice and suddenly he's flattened, and heart attack. Sudden death. We have certainly heard about sudden deaths, and a couple of weeks ago we have heard about the earthquake in in Turkey and Syria. The death toll still keeps rising. It's up to beyond 50,000 lives. Sudden death. And the account that we have in front of us is also one that is talking about sudden death. What time is it in your life? Jesus is, in the context, as we have read, asking whether people are able to discern the time. Do you know what time it is in your life? When the earth shakes, it doesn't just happen. The Bible tells us a number of times that God says, I will shake the earth. And toward the end, it will get very much worse. But the Lord says, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Are we shaken when the earth is shaken? It seems to be what God wants to do when we hear of calamities and sudden death, fatal calamities. What do we do when we hear the news? Shake it off? Turn the channel? Change the subject? Oh, the Lord comes very close when in the fellowship of a congregation you hear about a sudden death, as we have just remembered. But there is a spiritual message that God wants us to hear, and one that Jesus, in fact, very much focuses on when there is the news about a fatal calamity in the community of Jerusalem. There are two kinds of calamities, the acts of man, as we see the account of what Pilate has done. Then there are other calamities that we call the acts of God. Which gets our attention most? Actually, they're all under God's sovereign control. Does it speak to us? Why? Why them? Why not us? What do we do about it? All kinds of questions rise. Let's look at that Jesus' teaching about sudden death. Jesus' teaching about sudden death. We'll look at the frailty of human security, the need for self-reflection, and the call for repentance. But as we think about this passage here, the context teaches us that we ought to be alert. How many times hasn't the Lord Jesus in the account concerning the last days said, watch, watch, be ready. And so he, in this context of the previous chapter, he talks about this time. Notice in verse 56, ye hypocrites, you discern the face of the sky and of the earth, and you cannot discern this time. The present time. The Lord Jesus is speaking about the time that they are in, and he certainly would ask that today. Do you know what the time is? Are you among the people, it's said of certain people in the Old Testament, they knew the times. Do you know these times? You know what the marks are in relation to the course of history and what Jesus has said about what will happen toward the time when he will come again. Do you understand? We know about the weather. It seems in Israel as well. You look to the west and you look for the clouds, and then what comes from the west usually brings the weather. we're discerning. The weatherman is probably a little more accurate than we are. We don't know exactly, but there are certain things we can predict. But what about sudden death? That really catches us off guard. But we all have a court date. It is appointed unto man once to die. Once. Only once. Some of these video games, I think, would trivialize death because, you know, you play this video game and then you crash or someone gets killed and you push reset. You can't do that with your life. You die only once. That's reality. That's reality. And human security is not something you want to lean on. It's frail. People talk about social security because they expect the government saving a lot of the tax money and then they'll be okay later on. And suddenly, the value of that drops. Or they have an RSP, you have a savings, your own. And suddenly the value, the buying power of your savings dropped. It's not so secure, is it? Not even financially. You think you're healthy. I'm going to live on for... No. You never know. Human security is frail. We need real security. We need the kind of security that has us safe for eternity, come what may. And so when we have these rumors, these newscasts about war, rumors of war, we have pretty reliable news. Sometimes there's fake news, but we know a lot of what's happening in the world. And there are two current events that come to the attention of the people who are having a discussion with Jesus. The first comes from them. They tell Jesus about something that has happened. There were those present at that season who told him about these Galileans. And it raises a question in their mind. The events are probably something like this. Galileans from the north part of Israel have come down to Jerusalem to worship because the temple is the place to worship. They come with their sacrifices. Maybe they're holding a lamb or something else and they're ready to have the priest offer their sacrifice. And as these Galileans are in the lineup or in the temple square, ready to have this done, suddenly Pilate's soldiers come in and with their sword swinging and just slay these Galileans so that their blood drips to the temple floor and mingles with the blood of their sacrifices. To the ears of the Jewish people, this is a horrendous act of man. Blasphemy. The profaning of the temple square with human blood, it is a heinous thing, and you can expect that it would stir anger, but it might divide the crowd, as, for instance, Canada was recently divided, because there are those who were saying, we should all get together and we should all become freedom fighters, because the suspicion of some commentators is that the reason why Pilate did this is because there is this grassroots movement called Zionists, and they are the freedom fighters for Israel, and they would love to organize something to just kick the Romans out of town and to get rid of this occupying force of the Roman Empire that is taking over their liberties. And so there is that anger that could be stirred on the part of some of them. But there are others, are not so much the freedom fighters, they're the submission party. And they say, no, These Galileans deserved it. Because these zealots, we shouldn't be doing that. We should submit. And you know how that is too. There can be this division of the people over these kind of events. It polarizes the population, doesn't it? Even family members get divided over these things. It seems that maybe some of these people on the part of the submission party might have come to Jesus and they have this idea in mind. Yeah, they, because of their sins, that's why they have experienced this horrendous slaying of their bodies in the temple square. Jesus doesn't get into the political issue. He deals with the heart issue. He deals with the real issue. And the real issue is, are you okay for eternity? Do you have the real freedom? Do you have the real security? The second event that comes to the attention of this discussion circle is brought up by Jesus himself in verse 2. In verse 4, he raises this other incident. Or the 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell. He brings this up because it may have been an earthquake that tipped the tower, and the tower in the corner of the great wall of Jerusalem, that symbol of Jerusalem's security. It reminds them as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people. If we are in Jerusalem, we are secure, we will have peace. And the symbol of the tower is just representing the strength of the defense forces, and the tower falls. And 18 are killed. Killed. Near the pool of Siloam that represents healing. It just all seems so confusing, and it was an act of God. We can't understand it. We have all kinds of questions. Questions that we cannot answer. But Jesus has an answer that is important to help us understand the spiritual purpose of his sovereignty for such calamities. And that is that we take heed. Human security will not stand in the face of your eternal destiny. You must be safe in Jesus, or you are not safe anywhere. The safest place to be anywhere is to be in Christ, having peace with God, and then you have the liberty to go anywhere, knowing if the Lord takes you, he'll take you home. And so you see, human security is frail. And we need a security that God gives us. But secondly, we see here that there is this urgent call for self-reflection. Because the fingers are pointing away from themselves. Those Galileans, or those people on whom the Tower of Siloam fell. And Jesus says, what about you? Except ye repent. And he says it twice. I tell you, their eternal destiny has been determined. They have died. But you are still in time of grace. The day of grace. What about you? Self-reflection is more profitable than making judgments about others. First of all, Jesus stresses the need to reflect on our own state and on our own death. In John 21, there was this discussion among the disciples where Peter asked something about, what about John? because Jesus had just said something about Peter's death and the way he would die. What about him? And the Lord basically said, that's not any of your business. Follow thou me. And so we also, when we might be concerned about other people, or maybe making kind of prejudicial judgments about other people who are experiencing calamities, the Lord is saying, what about you? The same day that the worst trembling took place in that first earthquake in Turkey, there was, I don't know if it was related, I'm not a geologist or how the world works, but the same day there was a slight shaking felt in the Niagara Peninsula and in Buffalo. A mild tremor. Like the Lord is saying, don't just make judgments about other people. What about you? It could happen. So the Lord Jesus here urges us to reflect on our own state. Am I ready? Do I know the time of my life, what time it is? And so, as we see the psalmist in Psalm 39 reflecting in a similar way, we see him reflecting on some calamity. If you read through Psalm 39, if a calamity takes place, maybe a death of a loved one, read through Psalm 39, because it seems like David has experienced the death of someone, that he has experienced something that's really cut him to his heart, and he hardly dares to speak at first, and then when he gets a spiritual control of his own emotions, he says this, Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made man my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man is at his best state, altogether vanity. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knows not who will gather them. And then he says this, and now, Lord, what do I wait for? There's a good question. What's your hope for the future? What are you waiting for in the future? What gives you hope with a sense of what's going to happen tomorrow? Some hope for today. And maybe for tomorrow. Well, here's his answer to himself. He's having this discussion. Do you ever have self-talk discussions? Do you ever reflect and have a discussion with yourself before the face of God? Here's his self-talk. What am I waiting for? My hope is in thee. Resting in God. As Augustine said, Lord, thou hast made us for thyself. Our souls are restless until they rest in thee. Trusting in God, in his Son Jesus Christ. Secondly, Jesus, in connection with this self-reflection, stresses that calamities do not necessarily strike only people because of they're more sinful than others. Some people experience calamities and sudden death, but it's not because we can say, well, that happened to them because they're more sinful than we are. That's why we weren't in that earthquake. That's why we weren't under that Tower of Shalom. That's why we weren't the members of that church in the United States where someone came into church and just unloaded a machine gun and mowed people down. Because we are different. No. We are no better. And Jesus says, don't think that way. Do you think these Galileans, verse 2, were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered these things? Or what about those 18 on whom the Tower of Shalom fell? You think they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? Nay. No. Calamities don't only happen to people because they're sinners. In John 9, you remember the man born blind and the disciples who are thinking in this ancient Jewish way that calamities happen if you are a sinner and you are prospered if you're a believer. Well, to some extent, the Old Testament covenant had those temporal blessings attached to it, but that's no longer of the same kind of application in the New Testament, and Jesus says, no, don't make those kind of assessments, those one-to-one correlations. And when they asked about the man born blind, Jesus said, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. God sends difficulties in our life because he designs this way to get our attention, so that his work, we just sang, let thy work appear unto their children. In Psalm 90, those, and what we need to see is God's work in our life. And Jesus says, calamities happen to get our attention so that we call upon the Lord to work in his mercy in our hearts, that we may be saved and give glory to him. So these lessons are laid down by the Lord Jesus, not to proudly presume that we are safe because of our human security, that we not think that we are better than the victims. No, we are all sinners. And every good thing we receive is mercy. But what's the message centrally? It's this, thirdly, the solemn call to repentance. The solemn call to repentance. If we do not repent, then our death, however we die, will be similar. What does that mean in verse 3 and 5? When Jesus says, ye shall all likewise perish. What's the connection between repenting and perishing? It's maybe a bit confusing. I mean, the Lord Jesus does not mean, well, if you don't repent, then you'll be slain in church. Or if you don't repent, then you'll have a tower fall on. No. That's not what he means. The worst part about sudden death is if you would die without repenting. That is perishing. Because John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have repented of your sin, then your death will not be the perishing that the Bible speaks of. Because perishing means you are struck dead and you go to hell. That's perishing. And this is something that the Lord Jesus has in his mind all the time as he's going about his ministry, and that is, he has come into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. We're on our way to eternity, to a certain destruction, and we need to be rescued. And he's come to give this message of hope, this message of salvation. And he says, this is the most important thing you can be thinking about in times of calamity. Have I repented sincerely before God? Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish an untimely death, and being racing into eternity unprepared, that is perishing. But if we repent, no matter when we die, if we are really sorry for our sins, children, you ever argue with your mom, with your brother or sister, let's say, and your mom catches you and she says, you go and you say you're sorry to your brother or sorry to your sister because you were fighting and you hurt one another. How do you say sorry? You're still angry with your sister or brother? You say, sorry. You don't really mean it, do you? That's not sorry coming from your heart. When you say sorry and you repent of your sin because you sinned against God, then that means you feel sorry in your heart. That's repenting. That's what God wants us to do in response to our sin. Repenting from the heart. Saying sorry, first of all, to God, because we sin against Him. So that's what the Lord Jesus calls us to do, to repent sincerely. Because if we don't repent, then we will perish forever. But there's another side of this. And surely the Lord Jesus tells plenty about that throughout His ministry as well. This is a very serious passage, but the Bible teaches us so much about the state of those who do repent. And so for some further application on this, I want to turn with you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And if you have your Bible handy, turn with me, because we see here that this passage also talks about sudden destruction. Sudden destruction. But it's a message that speaks about it for those especially who do repent, who do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the apostle says at the beginning of 1 Thessalonians 5, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. They've embraced the gospel. They heard the word and with profit. And the earlier chapters of this tells us they have embraced the gospel. They have repented of their sins. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. The Lord may come, and a thief doesn't make appointments. He doesn't say, well, by the way, I'm going to come tonight and I'm going to rob you of your possessions at about 10 after 12 midnight. No. It's unexpected. The Lord may come. But when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So again, this is what perishing means. Sudden destruction comes, and there's no escape. These poor people who were trapped in the rubble, and some escaped, but others perished. Well, but you, brethren, you are not in darkness. We know the gospel. What a privilege if you've heard the gospel and the Lord's applied it to your heart with power by His Spirit. Then the news of the gospel says, you're not in darkness. And when you die, you will not have sudden destruction in that sense of perishing come on you. You, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Let us therefore not sleep. So these calamities and this coming of the Lord Jesus on the clouds of heaven, which we don't know when it will happen. I mean, we're hearing footsteps. It's almost like the shaking of the earth, and the earthquakes are like the footsteps of the Lord Jesus coming back. But He says, you're not of the day. If you believed in the Lord, therefore let us not sleep as others do. There's the danger for believers. That like the maidens, the five wise, the five foolish, all were asleep. Spiritually, that's not something we should be doing in these days if we know the time. But let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. Nothing good happens after midnight. So much alcohol flows, and if that's your lifestyle, then you're living like you're living in the night and in the darkness. Spiritually, let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for a helmet of salvation, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. What a beautiful gospel alternative to perishing and sudden destruction that the Lord says, this is the real security you want. This is the real preparedness you want for the future death, whenever it comes. Because the Lord Jesus said to the man on the cross, and he was on the cross, he had time to think about his life and turn to Jesus. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord Jesus gave him that comfort, you see. But don't count on those last moments. One commentator has said, two men beside Jesus. One was saved, that none despair, but only one that none would presume. So don't assume that God's going to give you some waking hours in the last moments. Be ready always. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Be sober. Live diligently, with a view to the glory of God. That's why we're here. We're here to glorify God, to praise Him. Today is the day of grace. And when Jesus says, today, you'll be with me in paradise, that's the comfort for the believer. No matter when the Lord takes me, if He takes me with a heart attack while I'm in church, if He takes me with an accident on the road, if He takes me suddenly, I can say, Lord, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. Indeed, we need the mercy of God, and we are abundantly thankful for His mercy. But if then a believer who has repented of his sin and trusted in Jesus Christ dies suddenly, it's not sudden perishing. It's not sudden destruction. But for that believer, it's sudden glory. With Jesus. In heaven. With a paradise environment. In fellowship. In sweet communion, Lord, with Thee. Constantly. And therefore, let us hear what the Spirit of Jesus is saying to us. Amen.